D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes here with you on a sweltering Monday in our fair city.
I can confirm that.
I love it.
I jogged this morning. It was sweltering.
Ooh. Yeah.
I jogged about an hour and a half ago. I think I just stopped sweating like 3 minutes ago.
That's typically how it happens.
I just feel it like that. You just, you know, you ever like, you even take your shower, you get ready, you just keep sweating.
The shower makes it worse, it
does.
Seems like.
It does.
Yeah, so.
We need to invent something.
Just some spray?
Yeah, something.
The stuff that women have, like the dry shampoo. They spray in their hair. You know about that, right, Emily? The dry shampoo you spray in your hair?
But baby powder is recommended because it's healthier.
Okay. So you can use baby powder.
These are tips.
Exactly.
Are tips. Yeah.
There is an old. There is
Emily's
an old.
Got tips.
Exactly. There we go.
It will certainly help Willie, Derek, and I.
The hair tips.
The hair tips. There's an old Sears commercial about a couple. And it's really hot outside, and their air conditioning breaks down. And for some reason, it's imprinted in my mind from when I was a kid. So at the end of the commercial, after Sears comes in and fixes their air conditioning, the couple, they're feeling better. They're not drenched in sweat anymore. And the wife asks the husband, you know, what's the temperature going to be? And he goes, another scorcher. And she goes, cool. And every time I step outside of my house now, I say to my wife, another scorcher.
So does she repeat cool?
Does she say cool?
No. She actually hates that I referenced the commercial. But nevertheless, I told Willie, I told this to Derek as we were setting up, that I was transported back to my youth on Friday, more specifically to my college years, because we had not gone grocery shopping. And my wife works all day on Fridays. So that isn't to say that I couldn't go grocery shopping. But my wife, she does the meal planning. She knows what to get. So there wasn't much in the house for me to eat for dinner. And, man, I had to go back to my college days where you just take whatever you have and try to make a meal out of it. And I took some leftover tortillas and some leftover grated cheese.
I think this is a fine art, by the way. Yeah. This is a very important skill that you got.
Made myself
have.
A makeshift quesadilla.
Okay.
Found some guacamole. So I'm wondering if you two and our listeners have that. There's nothing in the house to eat. I'm gonna whip up something that is just everything that we have in the house, and make a decent meal out of it.
I'll give you one that I did as a kid. Uh-huh. That I'm not sure it was super nutritious, but it got me by for that particular day. I was looking, there was like nothing in the fridge. I looked in the cabinet, and there was a big can of cranberry sauce, just like jellied cranberry sauce, which I enjoy as a side dish.
Okay.
But, you know, we didn't have anything else. So I was I'm just going to eat this whole thing. I just took the can opener, opened the can. I just took the can. I just spooned it right out of the can. Got a little snack there. Got me by for a while.
Yeah, I suggest no one do that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really recommending it.
Your sugar levels will spike.
You got to really like cranberries.
Oh my goodness! Ugh, cranberries. That many in the can? No. No. I guess for me, it was more so in college, because when I was younger, shoot, we just grabbed some bread and some butter. And some sugar and put it on bread and put it in the oven. Sugar toast. That's what we used to do. When we had nothing, awesome. Put some bread, butter, and sugar. It was the best. Or some cinnamon. We would always add cinnamon to it. It was the best. But in college, my go-to was, it was throw the turkey bacon in the microwave, ramen noodles, and water or Gatorade. That's what we used to have. Ramen noodles, turkey bacon, and water Gatorade.
Okay.
I don't know how nutritious that is, but it was good.
See,
Another one we had was my brother and I were latchkey kids. Like, our parents both worked. Now, my dad, we lived on a college campus, so my dad was never that far.
Yeah.
We could walk over to his office and find him, or find somebody that knew him.
That know where he
something was going on. Yeah, but we were in the house, And we had like the instant pancake batter. Like it was, it came in like a milk carton.
Wow.
And so we're like, oh, we're on today. We got, what are we doing after school? We're making pancakes. Turn on the burner. I mean, we're just very fortunate we didn't burn the house down.
Oh, man.
We got very good at the art form, my brother and I. We were, you know, 10, 11 years old, 8, 9 years old.
Uh-huh. They probably were thick, too.
Oh, yeah. We got good at it, though.
Thick ones are awful.
I had to scavenge. I was like, all right, are these tortillas still good? Are they moldy? No mold detected. All right.
Functional.
What if they're just...
This grated cheese that's at the bottom of the drawer... Open it up. Smells fine.
What if it's what if they have expired?
Well, then
you still going to eat it?
SOL. I'm not that desperate. But it took me back to my college days where you just had to scavenge. All right, this is what I have. Well, in college, at least you had, I don't know about you guys, but for me in college, I would always pocket something from the food hall. Like I would have my lunch, but I would also take...
Yeah, you have to sneak it out.
Right. I'm going to take this cereal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this fruit. I'm going to take this pizza. And you save it for times like this. But it's not so easy now. Now, I know some of you are listening and are probably saying, you could have just gone to get some fast food. I mean, that is true. But I'm trying to save some money, right? I will eat a makeshift quesadilla if it means saving a couple bucks right now. So... Not saying
well,
that
it's making use of the resources in your house. Like
it
not
makes you
wasting,
feel good, though.
Not wasting
you, exactly.
Not
it makes
to
you
throw
feel
something
good.
Out. Yeah.
It's the closest I'll ever come to being on Survivor.
You're like, that's it.
I would be absolutely, hands down, the worst contestant in the history of Survivor. And that show's been on for like 40 years.
Yeah, I'm not eating no bugs or nothing.
This is the closest I would come to being on Survivor. Sonny on our text line says, I always have tortillas on hand and make burritos with whatever was in the fridge. As a kid, the worst was I would eat a couple of packets of oatmeal dry with no milk or water.
Dry cereal sometimes, if you're out of milk, you got
dry cereal. Yeah. No.
It's not bad, though.
It's never dry. Never dry. We would always, if there was no milk, we would put water in it.
That's you'd rather water than
yeah,
dry?
Yeah, we would. If we didn't have any milk, we would put, or if it was a little milk, we would pour some water in it, shake it up.
That sounds terrible.
And then
water
pour it
mixed
in
with the milk.
Yeah,
okay.
Water mixed with milk.
It reminds me of another commercial. Speaking of commercials from the 90s, it was a Got Milk ad where this kid was dreaming that he had his dream job. He was a brownie tester. But then he realized that there was no milk in the world, and he had to wash down the brownies with water, and he woke up in a sweat. But not in the same house as the Sears couple with the broken AC. He woke up in a cold sweat. Because he couldn't possibly imagine a world where he had to eat brownies without milk. So I would rather eat dry cereal than cereal with water, Derek. What do you?
Because, I mean, water, man, you had to make do, man. You know, that's what we used to do.
Mm-mm-mm.
Get a little water in it, put some sugar, add that cereal, and you didn't care.
So if you have your makeshift meals, you can text us at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But we crowned an NBA champion last night. The Oklahoma City Thunder defeat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 to win the Thunder's first championship. And we'll talk about what that means for Nashville coming up in a little bit. But just an awful start to that game. Tyrese Halliburton, he was feeling it, hitting threes from as far back as he could go. And I thought, we are in for a treat. And then disaster struck when Tyrese Halliburton injured his Achilles. He was dealing with a strained right calf already. He said earlier in the series, if I can walk, I will play. But you saw instantly the slow motion replay. That's also randomly something that I know that ESPN and other networks that carry sports have to do. But the slow motion of the injury, I can't do that. Like to watch his Achilles rupture in slow motion, no thank you. But it took a lot of the oomph out of that game. And to the Pacers' credit, they hung around for a long time. T.J. McConnell came at him. T.J. McConnell, by the way, he's that player playing pickup at the Y who is unassuming. And you're like, I guess we'll put that guy on our team. He might be good. And then
wouldn't be the first pick.
Might
be the last pick, depending on the level that we're talking. But then he gets out there and like, dang.
the story of an undersized white guy leading Indiana basketball to glory would have been picture perfect had the Pacers won the NBA title. But congratulations to the Thunder. But that injury to Tyrese Haliburton was sickening, and it just took a lot of the spice out of that game, considering how well he was playing right off the jump.
And for a while, you were thinking maybe the storybook, everybody rallies, mm-hmm. and you find a way. It looked pretty good for almost three quarters, and then they sort of hit the wall. But I thought about this, D-Maze, mm-hmm. when the injury first happened. And I don't know. They've got a lot of things that they do to try to – because this happened to Kevin Durant a few years ago too. But
It took Kevin Durant 2 years.
That's kind of where I'm going with it is I know how bad a guy wants to be there mm-hmm. and not miss when you're in the – in the championship series, and you're trying to win a world championship. But at what point does a doctor or somebody have to say, these are the risks? Because you couldn't have been surprised.
No.
And the injury was made 100 times worse by playing on it and then having happen what happened. Because any trainer or doctor can tell you that when the calf is weak and you're taking whatever measures they're taking, you're at risk of having that mm-hmm. happen.
Yeah, and especially with the movements that they make, the sudden change yeah. of direction and you know, the stress that they're putting on their lower extremities, and I'm talking about from your knee on down. And you're already dealing with a calf strain, but you understand. I mean, listen, Haliburton he's a young guy, and he figured, you know, I got through the last game with it. I can get through this game with it, and then it snaps. And now your team more than likely will not be able to secure a victory without you on the court. But it's not even that. It's long-term. I predict he will never be the player he
That's
was
what I'm
becoming.
About. That's what I'm worried about.
I predict it's going to be 2 years before he even gets back into the flow. If he comes back sooner than that, I believe he'll end up getting injured again. This is one of these things, man, where does the career longevity outweigh the moment? And that's what this was. It was the moment that you had. Does it outweigh the longevity of your career? Am I going to sit out this game because I know, you know, if I'm fully healthy, my career will be longer and I may have more opportunities. But if I don't go out there, then I don't give my team an opportunity to win.
Would you have played?
I would have played. I would have played.
If there was any chance you could sneak through, that you wouldn't do it.
Exactly. I would have played. But it's one of those deals where you have to sort of grapple with yourself and – because are we dealing with the moment, you know, and what we can achieve at this moment, or am I looking at my whole career? I'm a 25 years old. This team is relatively young. We got a great nucleus. Should I play it out for the long run, or should I try to win it now? And I do believe if he was to do it, he would do it again. He would play again. I think he would.
I heard Bill Simmons say something interesting. And by the way, non sequitur, some breaking NHL news according to our friend Elliot Freeman. According to Elliot, it appears that the Philadelphia Flyers are trading for Trevor Zegras. That's interesting. It kind of plays into what
significant.
I wanted to discuss something along those lines later in the program. I'll be interested to see what the return is on that trade. But according to Elliot Freeman, the Flyers are close to acquiring Trevor Zegras from the Anaheim Ducks.
The next 2 weeks are going to be really, you know, watching every day for news like this. There's going to be big moves.
Bill Simmons was saying that he feels like this might be the first NBA playoffs that comes and goes where the team he remembers isn't the one that won the title. He was talking about the Pacers and what the Pacers accomplished throughout this run, all of those clutch moments. And Tyrese Haliburton specifically, because he was the author of most of, if not all of those clutch moments. This Pacers team was a lot of fun to watch. I can't say I watched a lot of Pacers basketball during the regular season, but their series with the Knicks and this series too Like, this Pacers team was a lot of fun. It's unfortunate that they weren't able to get the job done. The way Halliburton was looking at the beginning of the game yesterday, I think they would have had a really good chance of pulling off the upset had he been healthy and not suffered such a catastrophic injury early in the game. But I thought that was an interesting point from Bill Simmons, who is a basketball historian, that the team he's going to remember more in these playoffs are not the champions. It's the runner-up.
Yeah, it's a great observation. And I think if we rack our brains, and this is the summertime, we have fun with topics like this, but do you think it was a little – do you think the 2017 Predators run had a little bit of that where they didn't win it, but the memories of the never-before-seen – and we've seen some stuff since then, but never-before-seen huge crowds outside of the arena, up and down Broadway, those visuals – the upset of the Blackhawks. You know, there were some things along the line that have you sort of gravitating towards mm-hmm. the underdog. And I think the Pacers had that for sure, right? I like you, Adam, I probably did not watch a second of the Pacers in the regular season. And in the first round even. One of my son's good buddies at college is from Indianapolis, and so he had an interest. He's like the first Pacers fan that I think mm-hmm. I've met in a long time. And that was like, oh, the Pacers are pretty good. And then it just slowly brings more and more people in with some of those magical things that happen.
Yeah, if you look at the Pacers, I'm going to always remember OKC because of what SGA was able to do and how dominant he was. And they had a hell of a crowd. I mean, that building, I'm sure, was rocking. It looked like it anyway. It was rocking, but Indiana had moments. They had two moments. They basically wiped the floor with the Bucks. They beat them 4-1. They had the moment in with the Cavaliers, the one game, but they basically swept up the Cavaliers, too. They beat them 4-1. It wasn't until the Knicks series, even though they dominated the series, it was almost reminiscent to the Knicks and Reggie Miller. And then how ironic was it in the first game, the Knicks have the game, all of a sudden, the last minute and a half of the game, Indiana scores 9 straight points and ends up tying the game, sending it into overtime, end up winning, and the iconic choke sign. That's what we're going to remember, the choke sign. It's not necessarily, I think, Indiana, because to me, OKC was a much better team than Indiana. And I think everybody knows, even with Halliburton, they still have a sense that
they're just getting
exactly,
started.
Exactly, and they're just getting going. Yeah. I am going to remember Oklahoma because this is their first title. And because of who they had when they moved to Oklahoma. KD, Westbrook,
James Harden,
Perk. They had the big three plus Perk, four. I'm going to call it the big four. And they didn't win a championship. And then you look at how each individual went on and won championships outside of Westbrook, and Harden still had one. But KD won one. Perk won one with Boston. That team that they had, that was probably the team that should have really won a championship first. But then you fast forward and look at what they're doing now, the team that they're put together now. I think you got to look at this Oklahoma team and say, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, because I think that's what a lot of people did with the Nuggets when they won their championship. But, man, oh, man, it's hard to envision this team not competing, like, in the Western Conference championship every year.
And this is not
at least for the next 3 or 4 years.
This is not to take anything away from what the Thunder did, which they did a fabulous job all season. I just feel that we were robbed of what could have been an epic Game 7. Would it have shocked anybody had that game been back and forth and back and forth, and Tyrese Halliburton had the ball in his hands with seconds left and hit another clutch shot? He's been doing it all postseason long. It would not have shocked me. It was an unfortunate end to a great run by the Indiana Pacers, but the Oklahoma City Thunder are your NBA champions. 615-737-1025. And speaking of the Thunder being champions, it does cross Oklahoma City off a list that Nashville finds itself on, which we will discuss coming up next. Quickly, before we do, a couple of texters gave us their makeshift meals.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's see. Jeff says, nothing wrong with occasionally eating a can of cranberry sauce. I keep the can in the fridge so it's nice and cold when I open it. Josh says, I used to always water down the milk when it was almost gone for cereal. I would always get in trouble when my mom would get a glass of milk, and I would mm-hmm. be like, well, see? Buy some. And she would be like, how do I know it's gone if you keep filling it up with water?
See, there we go.
One texter says, when I was a kid, we would do saltine crackers, sugar, and powdered milk.
Ooh, I ain't never had that one. Austin, I've had powdered milk, yes, but not
Austin all that says, one of my favorite meals, one cup of egg whites, half a cup of regular oats, two eggs cooked together, add ketchup or hot sauce. One person put peanut butter and bologna sandwiches. And we'll end with Joey in Bellevue. I once made a sandwich. I never turned the light on. This is at night. I started to eat it, and I was like, WTF. Turned on the light and found mold spots on the bread. Oh! It was awful.
Oh, no. That's bad.
That is bad.
Yeah.
Turn on the lights, Joey.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your makeshift meals. But coming up next, as I said, with Oklahoma City winning the NBA title, it crosses off that city from a disappointing list that Nashville finds itself on. And I have a question for Derek and Willie and all of you, and we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End is bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Get a $30 gift card now for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals.
They arrived here in 2008. And this city, this fan base, this community has embraced him from day one. Shot clock is off. They'll run it out. The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
That was Mike Breen on the call last night as the Oklahoma City Thunder defeat the Indiana Pacers for Oklahoma City's first NBA title. A quick update, by the way, as I mentioned in the first segment, the Philadelphia Flyers have acquired Trevor Zegras from the Anaheim Ducks. The return is certainly underwhelming for Anaheim. Ryan Poehling, who is, I would just classify as a guy.
You know, he's a center.
Right.
So I think he's a fourth line center, yeah. Basically.
A second round utility pick man. In 2025 and a fourth round pick in 2026. So as Willie said, we're going to see a lot of these moves over the next couple of weeks. The NHL draft is on Friday. Free agency opens a week from tomorrow. And we will talk about all of that as the week progresses, including later in the program. But
it's a one-year gamble,
right,
with not a whole lot giving up for the Flyers, because Zegras you could basically walk away from after this year. Mm-hmm. You're paying him a decent amount, but with the cap going up, that number, what's it, 5.7, you 5.
said 5.75
5.75 for a guy that, if the light goes on, could give you some offense. He's got a lot of issues of whether he can cover anybody. There's a little bit of Tommy Novak to him, but even more souped up special skill, right? That's Zegras, but he'll tantalize you, but he obviously has been a big disappointment, and he's had trouble staying healthy
as well. So Oklahoma City wins the NBA title. So Oklahoma City, Oklahoma can cross itself off the list of cities without a professional sports championship. It's a list that Nashville unfortunately finds itself on.
But we're still newbies.
Are we though?
Compared to Chicago and New York and Los Angeles, yes, I still would categorize as a.
We've been a professional sports market for now, what, 30 years?
Yeah, close to it.
Not quite 30.
Close to it. It's been 27?
Rounding the corner to 30.
Yeah, we're going to round it up to 30.
I'd say there's a difference between 30 and 130 for some of these.
Yes.
Like the Cincinnati Reds, they're 1876 or something like that?
Your point is well taken. But Nashville still finds itself on the,
on the list
of U.S. cities without a professional championship in the Big Four. And by the Big Four, I mean NBA, NHL, NFL, and Major League Baseball. Respectfully to Major League Soccer, I am excluding that league in this conversation. So this is what I was thinking about earlier today. And I want all of you to chime in at 615-737-1025. Where does Nashville rank among U.S. cities without a professional championship in the Big Four in terms of title hopes. And I did some rough research this morning, and I have found five cities with multiple Big Four professional teams that have not won a title in those leagues. And if I'm missing one, please jump in. Of course, there's our fair city, Nashville, Tennessee, with the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Predators. There's the city of Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. I am not including the Bills' two AFL titles pre-merger. I am not including that.
I wonder if any Bills fans will take issue
exactly.
with that.
Exactly. They may.
Those titles were won in the mid-60s in a league that doesn't exist anymore.
You got a point there.
It did merge together with the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I'm counting Super Bowls, my friend. Okay. So Buffalo.
Because, you know, the Oilers franchise won some AFL titles as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm not including.
You're not.
I'm not including the AFL. So the Bills, the Bills won two titles pre-merger. That's great.
I don't think the Buffalo Braves, who were Bob McAdoo and the Buffalo Braves, they had a couple of good teams, and then they moved. They became the Clippers.
I should say, I said five cities.
They didn't win a championship.
I said five cities. I should say four with an asterisk, and I'll explain the asterisk coming up. So Nashville, Titans and Predators, Buffalo, Bills and Sabres. Here's the asterisk. Sacramento with the Kings, and the Athletics are playing in Sacramento right now. That's not where they are plan to settle. It's Las Vegas. But at the moment, Sacramento has two.
So that doesn't count.
That's the asterisk.
Right. Yep. Sacramento's like, wait a minute, you're putting on this list?
Yeah.
What did we do wrong?
Well, the Kings haven't won the title. So
yeah, you're right about that.
Salt Lake City.
Kings have been around for a while.
The Salt Lake City with the Utah Jazz and the newly christened Utah Mammoth. No longer the hockey club.
I like the hockey club better.
Salt Lake City and Charlotte with the Hornets and the Panthers. So that is four with an asterisk that I have found. Cities in the United States without a professional championship in the Big Four with multiple teams. Nashville, Buffalo, Sacramento, asterisk, Salt Lake City, and Charlotte. Other pro sports towns with one Big Four team that have not won a title. San Diego, Orlando, Portland, Columbus, Jacksonville, and Memphis. So again, rough research. If I'm missing one that's obvious, let me know at 615-737-1025. But where does Nashville rank among all of those cities without a professional championship in the Big Four in terms of title hopes? I think everybody's answer, and I'm going to speak for the both of you, I think everybody's answer number one would be Buffalo, because the Bills are the team that appears closest to winning the Super Bowl, although they have yet to get over that hump. Josh Allen can't beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. It's funny because on the other side you have the hockey team, which is hasn't made the playoffs in, what, like 15 years?
Yeah, they've been spinning their wheels for a while.
Which is the longest drought in NHL history without a playoff appearance. So I think everybody would say Buffalo, just because the Bills are the team in those cities, of all those cities, that has at least gotten close on a consistent basis. But what comes after Buffalo? Would Nashville be two? Would you put Nashville ahead of, again, asterisk, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, and Charlotte among the multi-sport cities that don't have titles?
I think when you have two teams, you have double the shot, right? So that should put you ahead of all the cities you mentioned that have just the one team, right? And of the ones you mentioned, it didn't pop into my head that that team was on the verge of winning one. Like, Orlando has been close a couple times with the Magic, obviously with Shaq and Penny Hardaway. And then recently they had the one great run where they lost to Kobe in the finals. But I'm not holding my breath for the Magic anytime soon. And they've been pretty good. So I think as good a shot as any, right? Someday. It's hard to win the title. That just shows you how. And all of those cities, I think, are relatively new. I guess you could say Utah has had the Jazz for a long, long time, but they've recently been added to the two-team list.
Yeah, if you look at this list, it has to be Buffalo, hands down. But then after that, you can roll the dice, and whichever team falls out second, then however they fall out after that, then so be it. Because, I mean, the Kings, who thinks the Sacramento Kings are going to win a championship within the next 5 years? They got a good team.
The Kings have made the playoffs. Yes. Not play-in round. So they've qualified for the play-in tournament, but in terms of actually making the field of eight, The Kings have made the playoffs once since 2007.
They had that run,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was early 2000s. If I with
Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic,
yeah. yes. they had a good team.
Mike Bibby,
mm-hmm.
Chris Webber, Doug Christie.
How
Chris
can we
Webber.
Forget Chris Webber? Chris Webber was really good.
Yes,
those were really good teams.
Yeah, so if you look at, you know, Buffalo obviously because of the Bills, Sacramento. I mean, how close are the Kings to winning? They got a good team, young team. But they don't have a bunch of superstars. They don't have superstars on their team. Salt Lake, the other teams there, the hockey team, they
see
know.
Now that team I think is an intriguing one to watch. They but have do you some think things they are, lined up to be to make a jump. And they're
but how big is the jump?
That's the question.
Are we jumping over a creek or are we jumping over
I think, and this is not. This is probably another thing that is working against the Predators in where they want to go, is that Utah is in Nashville's division, and they look like they've got the pieces, a lot of the pieces that are on the verge of making a jump. But mm-hmm. you've got to make a jump to the playoffs and then start winning some playoffs. But it's a young nucleus that I think will be around for a while.
But
Do you agree, Adam? Like, yes. They got a chance, and they've got resources – I think now that they didn't,
they have been
in
linked
Arizona.
To a lot of the.
They want to do something big.
Top free agents
yes,
on the market.
They want to go big.
But if you look at this list, I mean, no one ever thinks about Charlotte. No one ever thinks about the Panthers at all, or Charlotte Hornets winning the championship. No, I mean it.
Don't forget those Bobcats.
No one ever thinks about them. It's almost like they are the forgotten
Golly,
sort yeah. of group. Like, nobody ever thinks about Charlotte. Nobody ever thinks about Sacramento. Utah's there because of the run that they had with the Jazz back in the day. But since then, it's been like kind of up and down. They just got a hockey team, so you don't know where that team's going. But this is not a list of teams or cities that you are clamoring to go to and watch games outside of Nashville. Buffalo's not even one of those cities, let alone – you know, you look at their sports teams. Now, listen, the only reason I think Nashville is ahead of Sacramento, one, Utah, because I think Utah's hockey club, it's a young club. And the Jazz don't seem to be going anywhere special. They'll probably make the playoffs, but going anywhere special no time soon. But if you look at Nashville and the two teams here, we are sort of, it's teetering from falling off the cliff with both franchises, or this is a moment where they can start building and start doing some of those things that they were doing both clubs 4 or 5 years ago. Because if they don't, the leagues are just getting better. The AFC South, regardless of what we said about it, it's going to get better, and if the Titans don't figure it out, they're going to get left behind, not just in AFC South, because to me, AFC South for the next couple of years only going to get one team in, I believe. But they're falling behind the AFC, period, and I believe the Nashville Predators are in the same way. And we're going to have this discussion later, and I brought it up on text. Like, you're at a point right now as a team. You can either try to circumvent what you said you were going to do, or you're going to let the process happen. Because if you try to circumvent it and it doesn't hit, you're going to fall yourself right. You're going to find yourself right back at square one. And I think that's where both of these teams are at, where if it hits right for this team this year, both teams this season, then okay. But if we start seeing some of these same old things, I'm not sure they're going to get this thing right within the next couple of years.
615-737-1025. Where does Nashville rank among U.S. cities without a professional championship in the Big Four sports in terms of title hopes? Meaning, which of these cities has the best chance to get off this terrible, terrible list? Nashville, Buffalo, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, Charlotte, San Diego, Orlando, Portland, Columbus, Jacksonville, Memphis. You let me know. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Talking about how Nashville has a little less company on the list of U.S. cities without a professional championship in the Big Four sports, because Oklahoma City now has its title with the Thunder winning the NBA championship last night. So the question I have for all of you at 615-737-1025, where does Nashville rank among U.S. cities without a professional championship in the Big Four in terms of title hopes? Mark from Gallatin says, easy, Buffalo. I think we would all agree with that, because of all of the teams in the cities that don't have a professional championship, the Bills are the team that has shown that they can compete at the top of the league. Now, they haven't been able to break through. We know about the, four consecutive Super Bowls they lost at one point. Josh Allen hasn't been able to defeat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. But the Bills, they're in the conversation every year in the NFL. But here's a question I have for you, Willie and Derek. I'm looking at some of these teams. Again, Nashville with the Titans and Predators, Salt Lake City with the Jazz and the Mammoth, Charlotte with the Hornets and the Panthers, if you want to include some one pro sports teams in terms of Big Four, Jacksonville. Which of these teams do you think at this moment which of these teams do you think is best positioned to hopefully one day compete for the Super Bowl? The Titans, the Panthers, or the Jaguars?
I think, being objective, I still think the Jaguars could have the light go on. And it to me, it really hinges on two guys, and that would be, one, for sure, Trevor Lawrence has to make the huge jump that he hasn't made. But you still can see it in him in glimpses. I don't think it's ridiculously unreasonable to think he couldn't have, even if it was a one-year wonder, right, where everything came together. And then the big X factor would be, is Travis Hunter the kind of guy that they hope he will be? And with the contract he signed, I mean, it's really interesting how many eggs they have in his basket. And we've seen things go horribly wrong for Jacksonville more often than they go right. But I would have to say that team, to me, would be the answer.
Yeah, the way it's looking, and I've said this, you know, just about every year. Jacksonville. But it seems like they can't. Jacksonville is becoming the new Indianapolis Colts. That for some strange reason, you're always picking Jacksonville or Indianapolis to be in a mix. And each and every year, both teams end up felling you if you're picking them. But this is, it's still another year where, you know, I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I think they're positioned better. Do I think they're coached better? I don't know, because, you know, this would be his first year, Jacksonville's head coach. It'd be a first year head coach. Be his first year there as head coach, Liam Cohen. Is it Liam Cohen?
Yes,
Liam Cohen.
Duval. David, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, if you look at it, like Willie said, you just got to believe, like, is this what Trevor Lawrence is? One, he has to stay healthy, because he's missed more games than, or he's been beat up more times than not. He missed seven, eight games last year. But is this the year Trevor Lawrence, the light turns on? The light is, it turns on and it stays on? Or is Trevor Lawrence, has he shown us who he is? He's just a okay quarterback. He's going to win you some games. He's going to be the reason you lose some games. But he's never going to be able to give you what you thought when you drafted him the first overall, and that's a Super Bowl, or even get you to one. But I still think Jacksonville, when you look at the talent they have across the board, they should be a team that, if you're just looking at these cities or teams within the cities, they should be the team that you believe should win a championship before anybody else outside the Buffalo Bills.
There's another team on this list, and Willie, baseball is my blind spot, so I am going to rely on you. The San Diego Padres. I feel like the Padres have been in the mix in recent years, haven't they?
Yes, very much. They have gone aggressively in to try to challenge the
Dodgers. Manny Machado, right? And
Fernando Tatis Jr. Yes. Like they've got some high end, high dollar guys that they have thrown some big bucks in a fairly small market. I think that they have the capability, if everything went right, to win the World Series. I think they've got enough. The problem is when you face the Braves, who they beat last year in the playoffs, the Dodgers in particular, who they just have not found a way to get past. And then, you know, you have the Mets now throwing big, big dollars in there. And then everybody else who happens to be having a good year. But I think the Padres have put themselves in position. They have enough talent. They just haven't had a great postseason. But I think they have a reasonable shot. They're further along than the Jaguars, I think we would say. And I would put them just behind the Bills in teams currently on this list or markets currently on the list that haven't won, that might be on the precipice of winning one.
So I think we would all agree that the Bills are number one.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would put the Padres behind, of the teams we've talked, Padres would be number two for me.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, what other candidates do we have that we have not discussed so far?
We've got our own local professional teams.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we know where they stand, right?
We've got the Sacramento Kings.
Kings were pretty good a couple years ago, but they haven't sustained it, right?
No.
We've got the Jazz and the former hockey club in Utah.
And the Jazz sunk to the bottom.
Yes.
Right?
We've got the Hornets and Panthers in Charlotte.
No.
Not looking good there.
No.
We mentioned the Padres. The Magic, the Orlando Magic, they make
they're
the playoffs.
They're looking good, yeah.
They're
they
good.
Make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're usually making it, you know, like in the bottom half of the
season. They just picked up Desmond Bain, right? They just got Desmond Bain.
Yes.
I would put them behind the Padres.
They've got my man, Paolo Banchero.
There we go.
The Trailblazers, I feel like since Damian Lillard was traded, they've kind of receded. The Blue Jackets. Fabulous story this past season in the NHL. I'm not sure they are championship caliber, although Columbus is funny because, you know, they have Ohio State, so they win titles in Columbus. They just don't win professional titles. We mentioned the Jaguars. And then why don't we ask our resident Grizzlies fan, David Janes, where he would put the Grizzlies on this list?
I have to wait to see what they do this offseason, but I don't think they're close to a championship just yet.
So if we have the Bills at one, the Padres, we're going to put the Padres at two.
I think for sure.
Okay. Would we put the Titans or the Predators ahead of the Magic at three?
No.
Okay. Would you put the Titans or Predators behind the Magic at four?
Titans? No.
The Predators... You know, right now they are such at a crossroads, right, where you've had one really good season 2 years ago, surprisingly good, and then surprisingly bad. So what's this next season going to see? It could be anywhere in between, probably. But I don't know the Magic that well. I mean, can the Magic make a Indiana kind of run?
Well, I do have a...
I would put them behind the Magic.
I do have a correction from our text line. That the Trailblazers won the championship
in 1977.
Thank you, Texter.
It was Bill Walton.
The list is even getting smaller. Let's cross Portland off the list then.
Yeah, because they had one big.
So right now we have Buffalo with the Bills. Mm-hmm. We've got San Diego with the Padres. Mm-hmm. We've got Orlando with the Magic.
I think the Preds and the Kings would be in a pool with a bunch of other teams
for the fourth spot.
Not looking like they're anywhere close right now, but you never know.
Yes. One texter said, has Phoenix won a championship? Yes, the Diamondbacks won the World Series in 2001.
Seattle Mariners, but the Sonics have won.
And the Seahawks won. Right. So in terms of cities with baseball teams, it's, I guess, if you want to count Sacramento, asterisk.
Right.
It's just the Padres.
That's the only team on this list that doesn't have another team that's won it in the city.
Correct.
In the market. Okay.
Correct. Nashville, Buffalo, Sacramento.
And they have been relieved of the clip joint, right? Because the clip joint is technically L.A.
Yes. Nashville, Buffalo, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, Charlotte, San Diego, Orlando, Columbus, Jacksonville, and Memphis. Those were the teams because thanks to that on-the-ball texter, I eliminated Portland.
I think after the Magic, who might have just slightly higher hopes, there's a pool of teams that the Predators, the Blue
That's
Jackets.
I say you can just shake it up and throw them out.
I think there's
just
not
shake
a whole
it and
lot
throw it out. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think our
you
list
could probably take some of those teams that are way down, like the Titans and the Panthers. Right now, seem like they're a long way from being anything.
So our list is Buffalo with the Bills, number one with the bullet, followed by, I would say, significantly lower, the San Diego Padres at two, followed by the Orlando Magic at three, and then a mix, a hodgepodge of teams, including the Predators.
Right. And, of course, the Predators and the Titans are together. Yes. So you would pool them together, and together they might get close to Orlando because you have something. You have, and the same thing would be with the Sabres. The Bills have the Sabres.
I guess the question
so you're trying to pull a Wonder Twins here.
It's a city, right? I mean, you get everything you have in the city.
Yes, but of course, I mean,
it's a bonus. It may not add a whole lot, but you get them.
Well, it may.
It's a swing. It's a throw at the dartboard, whatever we're playing.
One texter says Ottawa with the Senators and, I guess, the Red Blacks, but we're not including Canadian teams in this. We're including American teams. Yeah. Dylan in Antioch says, Big Joe is right in saying the Titans are closer than the Predators. All you have to do is beat the AFC South teams to make the playoffs. The Western Conference is much more difficult. You do have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. But, I look at both franchises, and they are further away than I think they were, 3 years ago. Both franchises, I believe. But like you said, I think the Predators have an opportunity to, leapfrog, some of these teams outside of Buffalo when you're just talking about teams and not a specific sport. But the Preds have an opportunity to leapfrog those individual teams. But a lot hinges on, how those guys play that you acquired last season. How do they play this season? And then what do you add? Before the season starts.
6-1. The Predators, by the way, are 66-1 in the Jimmy Shapiro odds to win the cup that just came out last week. And, of course, the offseason is really just starting, so the rosters will change and the odds, will change.
I saw 100-1 on the ESPN bet right after the Stanley Cup final was over, so that's interesting. 615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on our poor championship-less town. Although one texter does point out that the Nashville Cats are in the Arena Crown 2025 against the undefeated Albany Firebirds. So I'm not sure that it will count for this list, but go Cats! 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, the NHL draft is 4 days away. It's Friday, first round, Friday. A lot's going to be happening between today and next week with NHL free agency. We already saw a notable trade today with Trevor Zegras being traded from Anaheim to Philadelphia. And I read an interesting report on ESPN about the Predators and the NHL draft. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025-1063, The Game.